Daddy gang, welcome back to another episode of Call Her Dad. Fuck, hold on. Sorry, I usually have this on silent. Let me take this. This might be an emergency. Hello?
Hi, Alex. My flight back to London got cancelled and I'm stranded in New York. Do you know anyone here I can hang out with? I have so much time to kill.
You're in New York City right now? Yes, Madeline. Yes, I've got you.
I mean, I guess it's fine. Don't stress. I can just stay in and watch movies.
No. You're not watching a movie. I have an idea. Stay put. Do not move. Daddy gang, little turn of events. This was supposed to be a solo episode, but do you remember when I said we're ramping it up for season 4, that we're going to get to know people even more, which sometimes means I need to get my ass out of this chair and leave the studio. Well, Madeline RG just called and she's currently stuck in New York City, which weirdly works out. I don't see Madeline often because she lives in the UK. I live in LA. But what's in the middle of those two? New York fucking City. I remember the first time that I came across Madeline's content. I was scrolling on TikTok and I was watching all the good videos. You know, I'm watching someone make a tuna casserole. I'm watching dog videos. I'm watching girls shake their tits. And then I come across this girl telling a really riveting story about giving herself a colonoscopy. And in that moment, I fell in love with Madeline, and you are about to fall in love with Madeline as well.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Here's the deal.
I just thought maybe we could chat.
927,207,000. That's how many views this 22-year-old girl has amassed in only 2 years on the platform.
I just gave myself a fucking at-home colonoscopy.
Madeline RG gets on this app every day and tells the most vile, disgusting story.
Gangrene in one of my nips.
Substance excrement.
These bitches could literally see.
I'll show you little bitches how I do my eyelashes.
And we will smash that like button so fast.
Oh my god.
I hope you recovered from Miami and you're well rested. I'm fucking not. I'm still hungover. It is time to get up and do it again, Daddy Gang, apparently. Because guess what? We're going to New York. So, Madeline RG, I hope you're ready. Welcome to Call Her Daddy.
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Alex? What is going on?
You said that you wanted to have a movie night. I got you. Let's go to a movie premiere. Come on.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Daddy Gang, I get that there are some things you don't want to share, but bottling everything up inside can truly have some awful consequences. I remember growing up, I guess honestly, the truth is I was getting bullied and I was like so embarrassed to tell my family that because at home I was fine, but at school it was tough for me. And I just remember feeling so awful about myself and I kept it to myself and I dealt with it by myself. And it literally just caused truly maybe like a decade of trauma. And later in life, now that I've processed it, I'm like, damn, I would have been so much better off if I had just talked to someone about it. And it didn't even have to be my parents. Talking helps a lot. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I have had such an incredible relationship and experience with therapy, I was so ready to get better and to better myself and to understand myself more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists whenever you need to for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/daddy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/daddy.
2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. During a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and never survive. I had to flee my own state to receive treatment. I think Donald Trump bears an incredible amount of responsibility for these restrictive laws. We need leaders that will protect our rights, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
How was your night last night, Madeline?
Pretty good. How was your night last night, Alex?
Pretty good. Are you hungover?
A little bit. What about
you?
Me
too. Just a little bit. We may need a little hair of the dog.
I think so.
Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun.
You did? It doesn't
I
look
did.
Like that in the photos. Let's talk about it. Madeline, talk to me about the photos.
That's just my face. I don't know. I was having such a good time. But I either look terrified or like I'm grieving.
Guys, last night we went to the premiere of my fiance's movie, Love at First Sight. And did you like the movie?
Oh my God, it was so good.
I was about to say, you can't say it was shit. You're obviously going to say it was good.
No, I was bored out my mind.
I'm going to be really honest. I can't see anything.
Neither can I.
So maybe we should dine on our date and actually be able to make eye contact.
Okay.
Okay. I'll take mine off if you take yours off.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's so much better. I know you like to be pretty lonesome. That's why I booked this entire restaurant just for the two of us.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit intense for a first date.
Oh, I thought you were going to thank me.
I'll thank you later.
Would you consider yourself an introvert?
Can you not tell from the videos last night? People always think I'm having a bad time, and it makes me feel bad because they'll come up to me like, Alex, the majority of people that came up to me last night were like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine.
Doesn't that make it worse though?
Because makes it way worse.
Like, why are you asking someone? I get it if you're like sobbing in the corner,
but like if someone's not directly talking to me, I'm this is my face, because what else am I gonna do,
like, right? Just like the creeper, right? In the corner just smiling at everyone. Yeah. Like, can you talk to me a little bit about your family?
In my house, it's me, my mom, and my sister. I mean, it was obviously not anymore. And my dad left when I was like 6 and married the woman he's still with now. She has 2 kids that I don't really know. Even though we technically grew up together, I swear I've had 3 conversations with them in my entire life.
How was it explained to you when your dad left?
Okay, so actually kind of embarrassing. I didn't understand. And like, I didn't say that I didn't understand. So no one thought to clear things up with me. I thought he was going on vacation. And then after like 6 months, I was like, where the fuck is dad? And yeah, he never came back. I was like, what the hell? But we didn't see him for like ages after he left. Well, not ages, but like a considerable amount of time after he left. So I was like, yeah, he's in Australia on vacation. I don't know where I even got Australia from. I was like, yeah, he's gone.
You're like, where do people go on vacation? Dad's definitely in Australia.
Yeah.
Did you ever have like a conversation with your dad? Did you ever close things out? Like, what's your relationship like with him now?
Me and my dad have had like a bit of a crazy ride with our relationship. We're so similar. And I'm now realizing that, like, now we have a pretty good relationship. But when I was younger, like, I didn't want to go to his house on the weekends. It's where I started getting panic attacks. And, like, because I think I was just too young. And, like, I'm a big mommy's girl. Like, I need to be with my mommy still now. So I basically just asked my mom if I could stop visiting him. And, like, I just stopped visiting him. And, like, yeah. He didn't really protest it. I definitely didn't protest it. And then I had, like, virtually no relationship with him for like years until I got a little bit older and was like, okay, I understand who he is as a person, and like I would like a relationship with him that's like stronger. So I kind of made more effort, which I think was like what the relationship needed, which obviously I couldn't offer when I was like 7. But
that is interesting to hear, like you are the one that reached out, because I'm sure like there's a lot of people that listen that are like maybe have kind of a broken relationship with a parent and don't know how to repair it. Like, did you just like wake up one day and you were like, I'm gonna do this, or was it kind of like on your mind for a while?
It was on my mind for a while, and then I think I got a really good therapist who explained something to me about why I am the way I am in. And it literally changed my whole perspective on myself.
Could you share it with us?
He basically was like, I think that you were just a very intuitive child. Because I was like, why am I like feeling so many things and my sister's not? I was like, why did my childhood affect me like this and not my sister? I was like confused. So he was like, I think you were a very intuitive child and you were picking up on things that weren't like an adult wouldn't think you were seeing or feeling, and it stressed you out, and then it gave you all these like emotions that you had, and it affected your relationship with your parents, but they didn't understand why, because they didn't think you were like privy to this situation.
Oh, interesting.
And so then I kind of was like, okay, and I started to think about it in the context of like my relationship with my dad, just gaining perspective that you gain with like a bit of age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like now that I understand myself a bit and why I felt like that, and I can kind of see where he's coming from and why maybe he did certain things and why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of just like, he's a nice guy. Like, I don't need to feel like this weird anger or like resentment that I had felt as a kid, because like I didn't understand my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I think he's always kind of made an effort to have a relationship. Like, he'll invite me over for dinner and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, now I make sure I go like at least every couple months,
yeah,
and see them and sit down and have a meal.
Talking kind of about like you, when you would go to your dad's house and you would get panic attacks, what was your situation like in school? Like, were you able to have like a normal school experience? What was that like?
I have not had a normal school experience. I found documents, and no one will explain them to me, that said that I was in like therapy from like 6 years old or 5 years old, and I'm like, why was I there? I don't remember going. But like, I think I've had issues since fucking birth. And also, I was in special education classes until like year 4, which is like third grade, because everyone thought I was completely illiterate because I was so shy that I was a selective mute. And so my teachers were like, oh my god, this bitch, like, she can't do anything, she can't read, she can't write, she can't do math, she can't talk, she's way behind developmentally. And then I would come home and I'd be like reading novels to my mom, like writing sonnets. So when my mom heard from the school that I was like in these classes, she was like, what the fuck?
No. She's like, wait, Madeline is actually really smart. Why is she getting held back? And they're like, she doesn't speak. Wait, oh, that's so interesting. Did you have friends in school?
I had one friend, and I would whisper things to her, and then she would tell my teacher what I wanted to say. So like, I was like seriously shy. I remember at preschool, I knew one of my preschool teachers for like when I was an adult, and she told me this story that I like wouldn't look at anyone, I wouldn't speak, I wouldn't hold anyone's hand, I wouldn't take drinks, I wouldn't eat food, like couldn't do anything. And apparently one day I like reached up and I like wrapped my whole hand around one of her fingers to like hold her hand, and she just looked down and was like like, it was like the biggest honor that I'd actually like felt confident enough to hold her hand. But also, I didn't know how to hold hands because my mom's disabled, and so I would hold her fingers. So I like held this woman's finger thinking like, this is how I hold hands.
Wait, stop. The woman's literally like, finally, like she's not speaking, but she's at least like touching me. Can you talk a little bit about your mom? Are you comfortable with that? Just so people have context of just growing up in her situation and everything.
So my mom is disabled. She is a thalidomide baby. It was a morning sickness pill given to women in the 60s. So my grandma took it whilst pregnant with my mom, and it stopped the fetus growing the day it was taken, basically. So some people with thalidomide are really, really affected. Like, no eyes, no ears, no limbs, brain damage. And then the other end of the spectrum is, like, you miss a finger or you miss an ear. Like, it can be really minor or really severe. So my mom kind of sits in the middle. So it's her arms and her neck that are affected. All of them have kind of slight shoulders. She has arms down to like your elbow, so she has like a forearm and then deformed hands, and she has definitely not 10 fingers. I couldn't tell you, but some of them are stuck together, and then her hands are like not regular hands. But she's very like, my whole life growing up, like I never thought like, oh, my mom's disabled. I thought it was so cool, because like she came into my primary school when I joined and like basically introduced herself, so none of the kids would like say anything or like stare, and like did like a whole like, I'm this person and this is my situation, and then she would like help out in my class, so all my friends knew her and no one thought it was weird or anything, which definitely was like a good thing that she did, because kids can be horrible.
Assholes.
But never in my life has anyone said anything mean to me about my mom. Like, she handles herself so brilliantly and like has always taken time to like introduce herself.
Have you learned anything from just like watching your mom just like be such like a strong force in your life and like going through what she's gone through? Like, how has that affected you?
I think my therapist has actually been bothering me about this lately. He's like, I think your mom has a huge influence on like why you do what you do and why you are the way you are. And I'm kind of starting to agree with him, because at first I was like, no. But then I was like, okay, maybe my mother does have some effect on how I am. She's kind of a big role in my life.
I think so, Madeline.
Yeah.
I'm interested also to know, like, aside from family, like friendships your whole life. Like, how have you had a lot of friends? What have your friendships been like?
No, I had like, I've always been one of those girls that has like close friendships, but not like many, many friendships. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I had like my one best friend. And then when I left my primary school when I was 7, because I was a bit of a mess. I was having panic attacks. I was getting bullied. So my mom pulled me out of that school and put me into a different school, which was a very different school. Like, it was, I don't know if anyone's going to know what this is. It was Montessori, which is like it's like a theory of the way you raise a kid, and you don't start teaching them anything until they're losing teeth. There's something like, but I'd been in a normal school. So I was like, why are all these kids fucking stupid? And why am I coloring in? Like, this is ridiculous. So I just was like, I hate it here. And I was not a very nice student. Got kicked out.
Why?
Because I was acting out, I kind of orchestrated a few riots. And
classic in the Montessori school. Madeline's like, I was concocting the biggest plan to get the fuck out of that shithole.
It really was. They gave me a scar that I have down my cheek. I don't know if you can see it.
Wait, what?
Right? Because like, we were in the woods. It was like, you know those wilderness therapy videos that you see on TikTok? It's like people with horror stories. Like,
yeah.
We weren't far off. Like, they would put us to work on the farm. We built the school from the ground up. By the way, there was no physical school when I enrolled there. We built it. In the winter.
Wait, what? You enrolled
in... I feel like I've not given enough context. I've just thrown that at you.
This is so genius. You enrolled in a school that didn't exist, and on the first day of school they're like, build it, bitch. Yeah. What? Is that an actual thing? So you were out there building?
Bro, it was so weird. And I remember they would make us like chop down trees, and I put an axe into my knee, and the sound will never leave my brain. Like, the sound that it made, I was like, why have you given a 6-year-old an axe and just been go? Like,
you holding an axe
at 6? Like, I'm not big now. I wasn't big at 6. Like, wielding.
This sounds literally like a movie. I'm like picturing you like in the wilderness, like chopping down a tree.
The worst part is I got my ass kicked out before they finished construction. I never even got to reap like the fruits of my labor. I never got to sit in the school.
So you were just constantly creating like big bombs in moments to just like rattle the teacher so you could get the fuck out.
Yeah. One time, I've said this before, I got everyone to take their pants off, except, no, maybe I took mine off too, but like everything off. Like, we were all in the woods and I was like, right, 1, 2, 3, put them down. And then the teacher like came around the corner and they like pulled me away like by the skin of my neck, because they like knew it was me. I was probably like in the middle of the circle, like, yes.
Madeline with her full V. in the middle of the woods. What was going through your head to like make that decision? Like, what was going on?
Well, I'm pretty sure that this boy came up to me and he said, like, I'll show you if you show me. And I was like, okay, but wait, like, I see your vision. Like, let's make it 10 times bigger, like production value. I was like, okay, get everyone. And like, everyone was the same age. So I was like, right, guys, come on. And like,
so a boy wanted to see your vagina and you were like, I love that, Timmy, but let's ramp it up 5,000 notches. Yeah. Let's get every girl and guy to just whip it out so we can really size each other up. Yeah. Freestyle. Yeah. And the teacher's like, yeah. Madeline, that's genius.
Thank you.
And from what I'm hearing is like, you were too smart to be at some of these schools, but because of you being so shy and like in certain moments in your other schools, they were like, put her in this other school. So you were like, I'm fucking bored.
Well, no, like, I don't think it was because I was shy. I think it was because I was, like, getting bullied. My teacher was really crap. Literally nothing. This girl had no reason to come for me. I didn't really have any friends that year because my previous best friend had, like, kind of found another girl to hang out with. Okay. And I, like, didn't get on with the other girl. And I was, like, a little bit alone. I wasn't understanding my classes. I was, like, really shy. And this girl would just, like, pick at me and pick at me and pick at me. And the worst part is I told my mom about it because I'd seen those posters around, like, getting bullied, tell an adult. And I was like, okay, I have to tell an adult. And I remember, like, going home, I was so scared. I felt like I was telling her I was pregnant. I was like, mommy, I'm getting bullied. And she was like, oh. And so she finds out by who, and it's, like, not a surprise because this girl's, like, not nice, whatever. Yeah. Like, she doesn't have a good reputation. And whatever, she pulls me out of the school because they don't do anything to help. I'm not having a good time. We go to the different school. Years go by and it's like college and this girl is there and we have some mutual friends and we're talking and it comes out that I bullied her. And I was like, what defamation of character is this? Because I never, like, first of all, I didn't speak words. How am I gonna bully you?
Literally, you're like, I'm mute, bitch, so try again.
And I was like, oh my god, like, if any of these people had gone to my primary school, they would immediately be like, absolutely the fuck not did she bully anybody, let alone you. Like, you were a scary kid in primary. Like, this was like the shortest, tiniest, most pathetic looking kid. Like, she wasn't bullying anyone. She did not have the stature for it. And she, like, accused me. She was like, no, you bullied me. And I was like, I low-key actually believe that you believe that, because
I agree.
Right?
The delusion.
If you get told a narrative, especially from your parents from a young age, that, like, someone, it wasn't your fault, someone mm-hmm. was mean to you, like, I'm sure she actually thinks that.
I agree.
Keeps me up at night.
But I love it because you actually have the street cred to be like, I didn't even talk.
Right.
So how the fuck could I be right. You little shit? Wow, Madeline, this is good story time.
Thanks.
As an adult, though, it is really fucking hard to make friends, I feel like, in moments. How do you make friends? Like, what's your strategy?
I don't have a strategy. I think have sex with them if you have to.
Madeline! I need to know how many of your friends have you had sex with. Be honest right now. Don't lie to my face.
No, but okay, listen.
Too many or two?
No.
Too many.
Listen. So the thing about like liking girls is you'll go on dates and you'll hit it off.
Yeah.
Be like, I don't really want to have sex with you. Suddenly you have a new friend. The amount of my friends, like, I would go on a date, maybe sleep with them, and then we'd both be like, eh, we didn't like that, but I like you, but, like, I don't want to sleep with you again. But that was fun. And then friendship. And there's some of the funniest fucking friendships.
After we were just getting on.
And then give a fuck. Like, I wouldn't do it with a guy because I feel like it's a different vibe. But with girls, like,
you can just be friends.
They know the vibes, yeah.
That's kind of nice.
I love it. Like, it's a really, that, if you're, like, a queer woman, that's how you make friends in your 20s.
That's go down on them and then be like, okay, we didn't love it, but, like, let's hang out, right? Let's be friends.
Yeah. Easy.
Great advice from Madeline. Just hook up with your friend, basically, that you find. Go on a date, have sex, and then be like, let's just be friends.
Yeah.
The wise words of Madeline Archie.
Thank you. Cheers. How's yours?
Yummy. How's yours?
Yummy.
Okay, let's do a little role playing.
Sexy.
So sexy. Okay, you're stuck in a corner with someone that you don't know at a party, okay? Yeah. and you have to make conversation. There's absolutely no avoiding it. What are you going to talk about with them, Madeline?
Alex, I have no fear to sit there in silence and make someone uncomfortable. I'm not scared of that.
Like, I kind of love that.
I don't care. I mean, if I, for some reason, I'm in one of those moods where I want to talk, I don't know, I'll probably just like non-consensually tell them about my day.
I think I'm going to take that motto with you because I have the opposite problem where like, I can't help but try to make everyone feel like everything is so, like no one is feeling awkward. Like I'm going to make everyone feel super confident, comfortable. Let's just talk. So if there's an awkward moment, I'm always going to try to like jump in and like talk and just like ice break. And next time I'm going to just like shut my fucking mouth.
See what happens.
Yeah. I bet I'll be a lot happier. Yeah. I'll be way less exhausted.
But you're so good at like putting people at ease and just like getting a conversation going.
I appreciate that. I would hope. Sometimes I like don't know if it's working, so I'm just like,
well, you kind of have to be good at it.
Exactly. Like I gotta talk to people for a living. Like I hope I make you feel comfortable and you're not uncomfortable right now.
No, I'm miserable.
I figured. This is like pretty awful, right?
It's terrible.
Like we're not having a good time.
We're not having a good time at all.
Next role play.
Yeah.
It's getting steamy. There is a guy over there at the bar. Let's pretend.
Okay.
I'm super into him.
Okay.
I'm too nervous to go over. Aww. I need you to be my wing woman. You're going to get my foot in the door. You're going to go over there. What are you going to say?
Have you spoken to him yet?
No. Just been eye fucking him over here like a weirdo. Oh. Been like, Madeline, go. Get me in. Say something for me.
Oh my God. I don't know. No one's ever asked me to do that for them.
I'm asking you right now. Life is on the line.
Throw
my engagement ring away. I need that man over there. What?
Okay. I have some cash.
What?
Maybe pay him off. Please. She's just thrown her engagement ring out the window. I don't know what to do with her. She won't leave.
Please go talk to my desperate fucking friend. The fact that the first thing that comes to your mind is I'm going to pay this man off for you, Alex. Honestly, that's kind of like in a comedic way, not a bad idea to be like, yo, my friend like really wants to talk to you. I'll give you $20 to go talk to her.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good to know. If you're friends with Madeline, she's fully going to whore you out and just pay your way to whatever you want. Thank you, Daddy Warbucks.
Wow. It's like that hungover food I needed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck. I spilled on my shirt.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's okay. I know a place that we can go.
Okay, perfect. It's still open. This is my favorite New York City laundromat.
Twist. Okay, you do it. You do it. Great.
Wait, why did you change your shirt?
Well, I don't know. I just love New York.
Do you think your shirt's almost done?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
You know, one time I got my nipple pierced at this really sketchy place and like it literally doubled in size and started like oozing goo.
So then what happened?
Well, it still looks really bad.
Wait, which one is it? Oh my God.
Yeah.
What did it look like? Is that disgusting to ask?
No, I will divulge. So it had two holes either side where the bar had gone in and it was oozing out of those. And then all of your like breast milk holes.
So what ended up happening?
Why are you laughing? It's so like sensitive. The hell? Like opening up me and giggling.
Fuck you. No. Wait, why didn't you go to the hospital?
I couldn't be bothered.
You couldn't be bothered going to the hospital. So now is your nipple just fucked?
Yes, it is.
But
it's
like
still a different shape to the other one, but I think it's mostly gone down to its original size.
I feel like when I was growing up, my mom would tell me like it builds character to have something like that happen to you, and like maybe they look different, but that's good. You're unique. Is that how you look at it?
No, because you know what, and I agree with your mother, but I was born as God's favorite and I had perfectly symmetrical even tits.
Oh,
great nipples. Even just like
Who has that? Who has like perfectly symmetrical tits?
No one except for Madeline RG, apparently.
No one except for me.
Like, overall experience of getting gangrene on your nipple, like, what would you rate it 1 out of 10 for like hard, difficult time in your life?
Like a 6. Why are you laughing again? I just told you it was like a 6 hardest time in my life.
I really will say, like, thank you for opening up and telling me about your experience with your nipple. I feel like we got closer.
Yeah. I'm gonna go see if my shirt's off.
Okay, yeah.
Why is your shirt so big?
Shut up. Why is yours so small, you little slut?
You bought it for me.
Oh, fuck.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Something that really grinds my gears is I somehow will find myself just subscribing to things, right? And then all of a sudden, I see I have been paying this subscription service and I don't even use it because I just forgot to cancel it. Rocket Money can help you cancel a subscription that would otherwise be more time consuming and also you probably forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see anything I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddy. That's rocketmoney.com/daddy. rocketmoney.com/daddy. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Good things come to those who wait. We've all heard that saying somewhere, okay? But sometimes I'm here to say, you got to just go after what you want instead of waiting around for it to happen, because most of the time, I'm not going to lie, then you miss out, okay? Personally, I have had moments where I'm hustling to get something done at work, and I know I'm going to feel so much better than waiting around and waiting to see if someone's going to ask me to do it. I'm just going to do it myself. And that is why, Daddy Gang, if you want the best people for your company, the same applies. You have to go after it. You have to go after what you want. And thankfully, ZipRecruiter can help put the hustle in your hiring. And even better, you can try it free right now at ziprecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter can find top talent for your role very fast. As soon as you post a job, ZipRecruiter's matching technology will go to work and you are going to find a qualified candidate immediately. So let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ziprecruiter.com/daddy to try it for free. Again, that's ziprecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Guten Tag. Good morning, Daddy Gang. It is the morning. I am on my way right now to pick up Madeline at her hotel. You know, Madeline and I love hanging out with her because we have pretty similar energy. I can be insane. She can be insane. And then we also want to like chill. So it's going to be a fun day to podcast. And we are about to pull up right now.
Hey. Hello? Hi. Get in here.
Is this our third date?
I wonder what base we'll hit. Like, in talking terms, I mean.
You know, I've never known what the bases are. Because, like, I don't think people really say it in England. So when people are like, oh, second base, third base, I'm like, what the fuck?
Take a guess. Go ahead. First base is what?
First base, I would say that's, like, boobies.
Oh, my God, you slut. So aggressive.
Is it not?
I think it's like making out.
Oh.
I think. Wait,
I
okay,
think
so
it's like a boob.
No,
touch.
I'm just kidding. Maybe the UK is like more feisty. I love it. Okay, so first base for you is feel your tits. For me, it's make out. What's second base then? What the fuck is third base in the UK then? Okay. Second base in the UK.
It's probably like head.
Head.
I guess third base, that's like sex, right?
What's home run?
Is there not, is there fourth base? Fifth base? I don't know.
It's like first base in the US is like make out. Okay. Second base is like feel the tits, like maybe a hand job. It's very much like
I would
the dry
go for
stuff.
A tit feel before I kiss them.
You went for a tit feel before you kissed them.
I would think it's less intense. Maybe it's really not.
Just a little gray.
But like I'm thinking of them in the context of like middle school and you like.
Is there anything to grab? Like, for me, I was like a carpenter's dream. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing to go. Like, you couldn't do anything. So I was like, here's my mouth because there's nothing to feel. Like, right. I had no boobs in middle school. Did you have boobs in middle school?
I still don't have.
You still don't
have? I don't have any tits. It's so sad. But you know what's gross? I actually had my first serious relationship. And I actually remember they, like, wanted to have sex. And I was like, I don't have tits yet. Like, they were still, like, in the early stages of coming in. And I was like, oh, my God, what the fuck am I going to do? And so I waited 8 months in the relationship till we could have sex. And I was like, fine. Have tits like they grew in those 8 months.
They grew that fast?
Well, it's not exactly like Fast and Furious, right, like, you know what I mean?
Like a little bump came, like a little speed bump came. Like you got a little like mosquito bite.
It was like the formation.
Action.
I was like, cool, I'm ready.
You waited 8 months and finally a little tit appeared, and you were like, okay, now you can fuck me.
Yeah, that's so gross when you put it like that. Thank you.
No. I appreciate the honesty. Okay, that's really amazing. And just to confirm for my own suspicions, third base, I think, in the U.S., or just in my life, was then, like, a finger and a blowjob. And then full was fuck.
Okay. Wait, so fourth base is...
Fourth base is home run.
Sex.
You know, we're playing baseball.
Okay.
So first base, second base, okay, third base, okay. Home run. Woo! Do you know anything about baseball?
No.
Intimate question, but... With having like the germs and everything, how does that translate to like if you're gonna hook up with someone, do they need to like shower before you hook up?
Okay, like I just won't suck dick because like I don't know where that's been. I don't know if your hands are fucking bun in it. Like boys are gross,
right?
Don't wash their hands, they shove their hands down their pants. But like, okay, so my thing is puke, like that's the germ I'm scared of, any germs that will cause that. But like, I don't, give me the flu, give me a call, like I'm fine.
You just don't want to puke.
I don't want to puke, and you can't catch that unless someone's just puked.
Oh, I was thinking you were saying, because, like, obviously, if I'm going to suck dick, I'm going to puke on his dick.
No. Well, also, yeah.
I'm like, she's a deep throater, guys. Like, she goes ham, like, when she's going
I
down
definitely
there.
Don't.
So you just, like, you don't even, like, you're not even going down there ever.
No, because there's germs. No, maybe with a partner.
We are currently at Washington Square Park, but there is apparently a band out there, so this may not be the best for podcasting, but I'm also like, maybe it's a cute band, like maybe there's a rock star over there that like, although I'll be honest, I don't know if you want to like date a rock star in Washington Square Park, but like maybe.
I think
maybe.
I'm done with musicians, Alex.
Okay. Here we go. Let's go find a poet.
Oh my God, I'm kind of hungry. I want a hot dog, and I know you probably don't want a hot dog. Well, I know you don't want a hot dog.
I don't want a hot dog.
Would you ever eat street food? No.
I wish, it smells so good.
I'm gonna go get some. Do you wanna come?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to get a hot dog. I'll be right back.
You guys know there was this one time when I, like, had an entire crisis to the point that I shaved my head. I, like, woke up and I said to my friend, who may have been a fake friend for letting me do this, like, she was a little bit too excited, you know what I mean? Like, rubbing her hands together kind of thing. Like, she put the razor in my hand. I, like, hacked off all of my hair
because I wanted to see what I would look like with a bob and a fringe. And then I just shaved it. And I was in a relationship at the time. I like called my ex to show them. I was like so excited. I thought they were gonna love it. And then they just burst into tears on the phone. That was really embarrassing. And like I had this fixation. I really wanted to shove my, like go to the ocean. I wanted to put my head in the sand and then like wet it and put it in the sand. I don't know why I like fixated on it so heavy. But then my girlfriend broke up with me because I was bald. And then I was like way too depressed to go to the ocean. So, and then I just let it grow back and it stuck directly upwards on the top of my head for like, I don't know, 6 months. And then I like OD'd on biotin for the next 6 months. And then it will grow back.
She is literally the easiest interview I've ever done. Look at her. She's just like talking to herself over there. I'm like, I'm gonna go get a hot dog. She's like clearly telling a story or something over there. I love it. Can I have a hot dog? Thank you so much. You can keep the change. Thank you.
Anyways, I know it's like a cliche. People shave their heads after a breakup and I am going through one, but I don't think I'm gonna do that again. Would you ever shave your head?
What?
You think I'd look good with a shaved head?
Hi.
Hey. That stinks.
It's good.
Have you had enough New York?
Yeah.
Have you had enough of me?
No.
Okay, good. You want to go back to the hotel?
Okay.
Let's go.
This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime, but it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy Gang, you can save 20% with the promo code PODCAST at azoproducts.com. That's azoproducts.com.
This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. I am a certified rom-com addict. I love watching movies and shows that are funny and cute and romantic and make me want to cuddle up to Matt, okay? And Prime Video feeds that addiction. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover, and Maya Erskine kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, and really love to rip each other's clothes off. Dare I say, better than the original. My Lady Jane, a hilarious, heartwarming, and sometimes steamy historical reimagining of the story of Lady Jane Grey. You can watch both of these and a whole lot more on Prime Video. You can also indulge in even more rom-com classics by adding channels like Max, Stars, and Paramount Plus. Prime Video, find your favorite flirty rom-coms all in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com.
So how has your trip been so far?
It's been pretty good. My flight got canceled, but I'm honestly very happy to have a few extra days to cuddle with you.
I know. I'm really happy that we're getting to have some, like, girl time.
Me too.
We had to pour ourselves wine because we can't do this sober. Cheers. Okay, so you recently just went through a breakup.
Yes.
The internet just basically found out this week. And to give context to the Daddy Gang, maybe you guys are familiar, maybe you're not. Madeline was dating someone that is also in the public eye, is a very famous rapper from the UK. And your relationship kind of just like blew up online. You guys were seen together. You guys made some TikToks together. Like, you were out together at parties and like everyone was obsessed with you guys. And then this week, something kind of came out where he was at a concert, essentially, and someone that was on stage with him was like, my boy is single. And everyone's like, wait, what the fuck is happening? So to confirm, you guys are broken up.
Yes.
How long have you guys been broken up for?
A couple months.
Okay.
So.
Can I ask, like, who ended the relationship?
I made the final call.
You made the final call.
Yes.
It's crazy because we were talking about this earlier, which I think we should talk about because mostly women listen to this show and I'm like,
thank God.
Fuck everyone. Like, this is so annoying. Let's talk about like the perception online, because you saying you ended it is not what people think online.
I know. And it, but it's not even like anyone's given any thought to it. It's just like their immediate response is like, I got dumped, or like, it's like the girl, because the guy has all these like girls after him and crazy followers and crazy money, and it's like, you, it's for some reason what we would expect, like, culturally in a weird way, and I hate that.
You're so right. It always is like the guy ended it. Like, I've literally seen comments of being like, he must have dumped her, like, she must be so depressed, and it's like, you actually ended it. But it's annoying that it has to take you coming on and saying that for then people to believe it.
It's really dumb.
Yeah,
it's really dumb.
I think a lot of times, obviously, it's really difficult to end a relationship. Some people know for years. Some people know, like, over a weekend and it hits them. Like, how long, first of all, can I ask, were you guys actually dating?
So we met nearly 2 years ago.
Okay.
And have been, obviously, in some kind of entanglement ever since.
You were basically talking and together for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you ended it 2 months ago.
Yes.
How long did you know that you wanted to end it?
Quite a while. I think it was a lot of back and forth, and like, it kind of like in a fun, toxic way almost, when you're like, oh God, like, this needs to end, but fuck it. Like, let's go on one more trip together, or like, let's have one more night. Like, but I think it was kind of hard because, like, we both just were, like, a little bit obsessed with each other. And every time it was like, okay, like, logically, this needs to end. We're not happy. It's not fulfilling us. Like, there's a lot of issues that we cannot resolve. Mm-hmm. Like, this has gone on too long, or, like, there's a resentment here and it's not going to go away. Like, we'd have that conversation and be like, yeah, this is fucking terrible. Anyway, like...
That is too fucking relatable, though, of, like, knowing something's toxic and smiling in the face of toxicity and being like,
yeah,
where are we going next week for that concert, or where are we flying to? It's like, right. You can't give it up sometimes, even as toxic as it is maybe to some people on the outside. When you're in it, it almost becomes like an addiction.
Oh my God, the word addiction, I've been throwing it around lately, because like, I even was speaking to my friend, and I don't know if I can say this, but obviously it's New York Fashion Week and he was here.
Yeah.
And I had no intention to see him, but I got the text and I was like,
oh, that's so relatable.
I was getting pizza with my friends and we'd just come out of this party and I was like, oh my God. And my friend was like, don't you fucking dare. Like, you don't need to do this. And I was like, no, I'm absolutely not going to. And I went to bed, mm-hmm. and I expected to wake up the next morning being like, thank fucking God I held my own in that situation. And I woke up like, no, I really should have fucked him. And I was like, oh my God. And I texted my friend. I was like, I actually think I'm addicted to chaos. Like, I think I wish I woke up this morning. Like, oh my God, crazy. Like, went to his hotel, left at 5 a.m., got back here, feel like shit. And I was like, how can I possibly want that? I'm like, it's an actual addiction.
It is, because don't you feel like you, like when you're going through kind of that like toxic ending, you become so like, it becomes so normalized that then when you're in your quiet moments without the toxic, you're literally like, wait, like, where is it? Like, where is he? Like, why don't I feel that rush? Why don't I feel like insecure or nervous or like obsessed? Like, there's so many weird emotions that you go through that when it's gone, you're literally like, is life boring? Like, yeah. why am I stable?
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned like your friends, like during this relationship, obviously, as things kind of start to fall apart, I think we can all relate to maybe holding things back from our friends or being brutally honest with them. It depends, like, where were you at on that spectrum of like telling your friends the actual truth of what was going on?
Fully lying. But I actually made a new friend recently. I've been talking about this to everyone. I told you about her, and she was someone that I've really wanted to like she kind of commands you to be a good person. Mm-hmm. She's one of those people that it's like, I'm gonna actually feel fucking stupid if I say something dumb in front of you, because like, you clearly respect yourself. Mm-hmm. And I like you. And we were talking and I told her something, and from that point I was like, okay, I have no choice, like, this relationship has to end now.
Why? Because what was her reaction?
It was like humbling a little bit. Yeah. And also, when you finally say it, it's kind of a reflection that you're already ready to get out of it because you're saying it.
That's a good point. It's almost like, until you're ready to vocalize it even to one person, like, for so long you can go in the delusion of being like, it's fine, like, it's not that toxic, like, it's gonna be fine. But the minute that you say it to someone that's like not in it, and the minute you say it out loud, how crazy it sounds, because their face is literally like, what the fuck, bitch?
Yeah.
Can you explain to me, like, from your just perspective, like, how did this relationship affect you?
I really didn't like who I became towards the end, especially. One thing that always got to me was he always said I was rude. And I really pride myself on not being fucking rude to, like, anybody. And I understand that I'm a little bit shy, and sometimes I can come off like I'm not interested, but I'm actually just like, I don't know what to say, and so I don't say anything. But then I was like, no, you're right. Like, whenever I'm in a room with your friends or your family or your coworkers, I don't say anything. And I become this really closed off, small version of myself, and feel like everything I say is stupid, or like, everything I say is wrong somehow. And it's actually been weird coming to Fashion Week, because like, I still have that kind of voice in my head of like, everything I'm saying is so stupid, or like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I sat next to this girl at one of the shows, and we like chatted before the show started, and then we chatted when the show ended. And I thought we had a nice normal interaction. I was like, yeah, like, that was a standard good social interaction. Like, I thought we were really friendly. But then I was like, oh, but I probably said 100 things wrong that I didn't even realize that I said wrong. And like, I'm sure people would have things to say about it. Like, if I'd have been in a room with certain people, I'm sure there'd be comments. And then she DM'd me on Instagram. She was like, do you want to have girl dinner this week? And I was like, no, I knew I was fucking normal. Like, so
your confidence is down.
Yeah, but I think this Fashion Week's really brought it back, because I've met so many new people and like made actual new friends.
I think though, this is like a good conversation to have, Madeline, because so many women listen to this podcast, and like, you just saying that is a small example of like, I get it when you're seeing that 2 a.m. text and you're like, fuck, should I go back to the toxic? But then it's also like you saying you felt small, you felt not confident, you were doubting yourself, you weren't being yourself. And then the minute you were away from it, and yes, you were still doubting yourself, but then now you're finding yourself like getting your groove back and like having more confidence. Like, it really is crazy. And it's not even to say that the partner you're with is a bad person. Maybe they are. Maybe they're their fucking asshole. Maybe they're a psycho. But when you're with the wrong person, you can just become such a shell of yourself.
Yeah.
That like, if you go too long like that, you can actually lose yourself and you can lose your way. Like, I went through that with someone that I was in a relationship with, and it was so unhealthy. And I remember like fighting so hard for it. And I think when I look back, half of the reason I was fighting so hard, aside from being obsessed with the toxicity, was actually, I didn't even know who I was going to be the minute that I left that person, because I didn't even know who I was anymore without him and that toxicity. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Were you nervous to actually end it? Like, can you talk about ending it and how you even got the strength to do that? Because that is a motherfucker.
I think it was finally speaking about it with other people and getting another perspective. And also with him, like, it wasn't like he was super happy and like being like, no, like, we can fix it, it can be better. Like, we were both like, we're drained. And then I think I've not seen him in a while, but the last time I saw him was actually Olivia Rodrigo's like dinner party. Oh, with this
pictures, yeah.
Yeah, that was the last time I ever saw him.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was definitely some sensed tensions at that, but we'd gone to the dinner together, and I think I could kind of see people's reactions at the dinner table, like, oof, something's
is off
going on. I'm pretty sure Rodrigo herself checked in and was like, are you okay? She's like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, wow. So Olivia knew.
I feel she like seems like an most people person. Could tell.
Yeah.
That things weren't good. And then, yeah, we just like got in a taxi and like had an argument. And then I like went home and he went back to his. And usually if we'd had a fight, like, we would bicker for an hour and we'd argue for an hour and then we'd go to bed mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
But it got to the point where we'd have like half an argument. And then be like, oh, fuck you, fuck this. Like, yeah. And walk the other direction. Because we literally didn't care. Like, we were like, there's no point. There's, like, no resolution anymore.
I also feel like you know when you're kind of at rock bottom. When, like, when you're fighting in public with people. Like, even at some types of event like that. Where, like, people are, like, looking at you guys and, like, observing. And, like, it's just, like, you can't even stop yourself. Like,
literally, like,
that's when you
like,
know
it's. Like, please, some dignity, girl.
Like, and that's when fuck? You know. Wow. Yeah.
Also, like, he is in such an exciting part of his life and I'm so happy for him. Like, this is a huge, like, everything he's doing is huge, everything is exciting. And I was like, why are you coming home and beefing me over text every night? You should be enjoying yourself. I should be enjoying myself.
I was about to say, you're also at a really exciting time in your life too.
Me too. And like, I was like, why are we forcing each other to be in this situation? Like, I don't want this toxic, horrible, what it became horrible, like, situation to, like, be always in the back of your mind. Like, you should just be enjoying life. Like, life is short.
Yeah.
And it was the same for me. I was like, why am I having these great experiences and these amazing days and then going home and, like, laying in bed, like, unable to move because we've had such a bad argument that day yeah. over nothing.
It's also like, if you have the right person in your life in that moment, like, it should be easy, it should be yeah. fun. It, of course, relationships are hard, but like, going home and laying in bed with a pit in your stomach, like, it just shouldn't happen. It can happen once a couple times a year where you're like, oh god, we just had a big like breakthrough moment or a fight. But it's like, if this is a constant narrative in your head, like, we have to remind ourselves this isn't normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've gone through it and then I'm now in a relationship where I'm like, whoa. Like, I remember when I met Matt, I was like, is this normal to like feel this good about myself and feel confident and to feel like I can have a career and a relationship because I have a partner that supports me? Like, it takes getting out of something to realize like the things you actually never need again and maybe also you want again, but you shouldn't be sitting in bed with like sick to your stomach.
No.
So were you nervous to like with that final conversation? Like, was it like a screaming argument? Like, were you okay going into it? Like, I just feel like so many girls message me being like, how the fuck do I end this thing? Like, what do I do? Like, what's your advice?
For me, I knew we'd had conversations before where we were both like, look, this isn't good. Yeah. We're not healthy. We never get to see each other. So we can't even resolve things. Like, it's hard over the phone, different time zones. Like, what the fuck are we doing? But then obviously we'd go back and be like,
we're back.
We're still
go.
Hot, unfortunately.
still look good on your Instagram. Yeah. So I'm sliding in.
But I think, because I'd done that so many times, I knew like, okay, look, if we sit and talk about this for 5 hours, I'm gonna end up back in your bed. And like, it needed to be like ripping the band-aid off, like very matter of fact, like,
it's over,
it's done. The thing that I feel like no one actually believes is that it wasn't PR. like, if it was PR, I probably would have posted it more than 3 fucking times. Like, we kept it secret for quite a while.
What did you learn from that relationship that you definitely will do differently moving forward?
Ooh, I think just like I definitely need to get better at letting my friends in and like keeping them informed on like what's going on, so they can kind of like tell me like, hey, that's not fucking okay, or like that's not normal. And it's something me and all of my friends collectively need to work on, because we're all guilty of it, of like hiding little things, because you make excuses and you're like, well, I know why they did that, and I know that they have this issue, and like I know they're a good person, but my best friend's not gonna have that same love and empathy for them. And so you hide shit, but like, no, no, not again. Although I said this after my last relationship too, I didn't do it. So
you're like, okay, this next relationship, I'm actually gonna tell my friends. Like, I'm saying it here to hold myself fucking accountable.
Sorry, Millie, it's a work in progress.
No, but I get it. I would say that too, and I know it sounds like simple because so many people say it, but like, if you are lying to people in your life about your relationship, that is the first red flag that it is not a healthy relationship. Because why are you lying? Because you have a biased view. Tell someone unbiased, listen to their opinion of that. They're gonna be like, bitch, get the fuck out of there. Did you tell your therapist that you were gonna end it?
No, I told him that we broke up 6 months ago.
Madeline, you told your therapist 6 months. You were like, 6 months ago, it's over. Yeah. So what have you been talking about for 6 months with your therapist?
My fucking fear of germs.
Your fear of germs? Shut the fuck up. Wait, 6 months ago?
Like, probably more than that.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't, like, he's... I don't know, because, like, he's just kind of, like, he thought... First of all, he called him Central Z, couldn't get it right, and he thought, like, Central Z and his government name, like, Oakley, he thought they were two separate people, and I was like, a bitch.
He thought you were dating two people.
No, he thought they were two separate people. So I would, like, talk about him, and he'd be like, so why are we talking about a rapper? And I was like, for fuck's sake, like...
Is he old?
He's pretty old.
So he's having a hard time, like, keeping up with, like, the young Gen Z. Does he have a TikTok?
Not really. He had to kind of, like, he's asked a couple times, he's like, so... Where can I find you if I want to go online? And I'm like, no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. Because I, like, fully will make a TikTok. Like, I lied to my therapist today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Like, here's lie one, lie two, lie three.
So you need to, like, update your therapist, maybe.
Maybe. No, I'm not going
to. We need to get you a different therapist.
I agree.
Okay. The moral of the story is blame everything on your therapist. The reason Madeline's been going...
No, but I love him. He's so smart.
Well, you can, like, get coffee with him and, like, stay in touch and be friends. Like, we need someone that you're actually going to be, like, they're, like, with it enough and not, like, covered in dust and on the way out.
What if he watches this?
He's not going to watch this. Does he go on social
covered
media?
Covered in dust? No, he refers to it as the metaverse.
He literally calls social media the metaverse. Like, babe, it's time to upgrade your therapist. We love him. Get coffee with him.
He's like my car.
Oh, my God. He's literally your car. You guys, Madeline has the... oldest car known to man. I remember when you were driving into the city, Madeline was telling me, she was like, I need to be in London at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And she's like, so I'm leaving at 9 a.m. And I was like, how far is your house from London? She's like, 1 hour. I'm like, so you're giving yourself like how many hours to get there? She's like, just so that I can give myself my car brakes to break down on the highway so that I can get to London. I'm like, Madeline, let's talk about your sexuality. As we said, he was the first penis that you ever dated.
Yeah.
Your whole life up until now. How old are you?
23.
23. Up until 23, you have basically dated women.
Yeah.
Take me back. How and when did you first know that you were attracted to women?
I was actually pretty stupid. So I only figured it out when I was like 15.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think I actually knew really early on, but I was like, ooh, suppressed that.
Well, first of all, you're not stupid, and anyone listening, you're not stupid. Like, I get that's probably how you felt, but it's not stupid because I also feel like, obviously, society makes you feel like, don't have those feelings, like, don't feel that way. So it's actually not your fault for feeling, like, scared to accept those feelings.
No, definitely. And I think I actually knew from, like, a very young age. Like, I remember looking at, like, lingerie adverts and whatever, like, pictures of maybe naked women that my mom had around the house, and, like, I remember liking the way it looked and being like, I don't know what this is. Like, I've never seen this before. Like, I don't think you're meant to feel this way. I think that's for boys. And so I would, like, suppress it. And I didn't really know what gay was. Like, I remember the first time I ever saw a lesbian couple. And I was in Brighton, which is, like, a very, very, like, LGBT area of the UK. And so there were these women and they were, like, making out by the beach. And... in my tiny little head, I must have been like 7 or 8. the first thing I thought was mother and daughter, because that's all I knew, was like, I would kiss my mom on the lips when I'd like say bye to her. So I just thought they were like taking it to the next level. And I was walking with my best friend and her mom, and I went, ugh. As a 7-year-old, I was like, why is she making out with her mom? Like, that's crazy. And my friend's mom whipped around at me so fast and was like, why did you say that? Like, why would you do that? And she had to explain to me that that's what that is. And I was like, oh, interesting that you say that's an option.
Interesting.
I remember it so clearly, because from that day on, I was like, okay, like,
it doesn't have very to just be good with my to mom. Know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in a creepy way, but like, you can kiss another woman and it not just be your mom.
Yeah, thank God.
And it is acceptable. It's more acceptable than like making out with your mom. It's better to make out with a different woman.
Preferably. I mean, thanks for clarifying.
Did it complicate your understanding of your sexuality when you realized you weren't just attracted to women, you were also attracted to men?
A little bit. I mean, obviously there was a time in my life where I felt like the label lesbian was the best fit for me. But I never liked labels generally, because I was like, but how can I commit to like, I'm definitely never going to find a man I click with, and I'm definitely this and definitely that. But at the same time, I was like, I resent the fuck out of it when other people are like, oh, but you might meet a guy and there's just one guy out there for you. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. But then to myself secretly, I'm like, okay, but also that's like, I might, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I think usually I wouldn't care, but like having a social media platform, like I don't want to be like, oh, I'm this, and then the one in a million happens and something else is actually the case, and then I feel like I've misrepresented a community and people are gonna be upset about it. And I would always question myself, like, if there was a guy and I would find him cute, and like I say I'm identifying as like a lesbian, and then I find a guy cute, I'd be like, okay, so what's the percentage? Like 2% straight, 5% straight, or 5% bisexual, whatever, 5% into guys and 95% into girls. And like, I spend so much time thinking about it, like trying to put myself in the correct box. And it was so draining. Like, it was the most exhausting thing, because like I said, like, girlies, like straight girlies, will go out to the club and like kiss their girlfriends and they don't have to answer to anyone for it. That's like a normal thing. And you're not 5% into girls just because you do that. Like,
yeah.
And so I was like, why am I tormenting myself with this like round and round and round bullshit of like, what am I? Like, shut up.
Right.
Just have fun, bitch. Like, it's not, you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. It's like so crazy too, even just hearing you say that. I empathize a lot with you, because I feel like I've had enough conversations with people on my show where like, it's the only reason you internally feel that way is because the outward perception of you is people staring at you being like, what are you?
Mm.
What are you? What do you identify as? And it must be like kind of freeing at some point, and I hope everyone gets that point in their life where it can be like, it doesn't matter. I can wake up today and be attracted to this. I can wake up tomorrow and be attracted to this, and that's fucking fine. It doesn't fucking matter.
For me, felt like everyone that had been like homophobic towards me and been like, oh, you know, one day you're gonna find a dick that you like and you're gonna wake up beside a guy and like, you don't really know yourself and you don't really know what you're feeling, like that kind of thing, I was like, I don't want to ever hand it to them. Like, I don't want to ever find a guy that I want to fucking date, because like, fuck you.
And did like, you experience that a lot?
A lot of it, yeah. And like, I was very aware of like the idea of like, one day you're gonna get a dick that's gonna like change your mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're like, fuck you, I like resent that fact, so now I'm gonna like make sure I never date a guy. But it's like, you can't go off of just spite. But I get, yeah, that would be so annoying.
You can't.
But that, how did that make you feel, people like basically like questioning like your sexuality and actually chalking it up to the fact that you just don't know yourself?
Well, I think that's the main reason I felt so much need to like figure out my percents and put myself in that box and be really, really involved mentally with what I was, because I was like, when I claim to be something, I have to be correct, because I don't want to prove these idiots right.
Yeah.
And like, I got to a point where I just grew up and I didn't care about them, because yeah, why the fuck does it matter what they, yeah, think? It really doesn't. And like, as long as you're being genuine to yourself at every separate point in time. Like, when I believed I only liked women, that was because I'd only ever fucking liked women. and I'd connected with them and I'd had good sex with them. And then, oh, look, I meet a guy and we're such compatible people and I find him really funny and he's really cute. Oh, look, like, okay, cool. Like, it's not, like, now it would be true for me to say that I'm bi. And previously it would have been true from my perspective to say I was a lesbian. Like, I wasn't wrong then and I'm not wrong now.
Yeah. Do you have advice to anyone right now that's also kind of going through a similar situation that you've gone through of, like, trying to define their sexuality and people looking at them, like, looking for an answer?
I think you don't owe an answer to anyone would be, like, the main thing. And you can't intellectualize your sexuality is what I've always said. Like, you can sit and think about it for 24 hours a day and you're not going to get any more answers than just living and experiencing your life is going to give you. Like, you literally have to see it play out. You have to have hundreds of experiences and meet new people and be exposed to new perspectives and be exposed to new people and have sex and kiss people and do whatever you want. Like, that, you literally are going to get nowhere by just sitting and thinking and dwelling on it. Like, as much as you probably want to, and I did it for years, it's not going to give you the answer. So, like, just live your life and do what makes you feel good as and when it makes you feel good. Because also, what might make me feel good today might make me feel disgusting in a week. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I want to have, like, really nice sex, and then other times I don't want to have such nice sex. You know what I mean? Like, things are just going to ebb and flow and change, and just, like, let it happen. And yeah, don't get too in your head, I think. And you don't owe anyone anything anyway.
Amen. Okay, let's have a little sip of our wine and let's talk about your fucking podcast, Pretty Lonesome. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk to the Daddy Gang about this podcast, what it means to you, what it's going to be about, why people should listen and watch.
Well, I think it is kind of a place to, like, embrace being alone, because I always say, like, your 20s are very developmental years of your life, and I felt like I was going through all these things and, like, the only thing getting me through was, like, giggling about it at the end of the day with my girlfriends. Like, that was the only fucking thing keeping me sane. And, like, when we first started speaking about podcasting and what mine was going to be, I was like, why the fuck does everything sound like I'm trying to give advice, or like it's an advice podcast? And I was like, I do not have an ounce of advice to give anyone. Like, I make so many mistakes, as we've discussed today. Like,
as we've discussed.
So I kind of wanted it to be a place where I can just, like, offload, because I think if TikTok has taught me one thing, it's that, like, you're never alone in your experiences. No matter how rogue you think they are, someone has done the same shit as you. Probably a lot of people have done the same shit as you.
I actually love that. Your podcast is going to be you just, like, explaining things that are going on in your life. And, like, maybe when people are feeling alone or they want to connect, or even if they're just, like, looking for a good fucking entertaining time, tune into your podcast, Pretty Lonesome. And you will feel less alone because Madeline is going to be there alone talking about her feelings in her life. And now she is fully single, not ready to mingle. She's ready to mingle on her podcast. Yeah. I cannot thank you enough for coming on Call Her Daddy. This has been so much fun. We need to keep meeting up in New York. Like, I was about to say annually. No, like, every other month.
Can only do one time a year.
Yeah, one time a year. We only see each other. We hold
love
hands.
You so much.
Love you. Love you. See you every one time a year. No, but thank you for coming on. This was a blast. And I cannot wait for people to listen to your podcast. You're so talented. And I love you. And thank you for coming on here.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.
Okay, real talk for a second, Daddy Gang.
Sex is great. We know that, okay? But sex isn't always perfect. And if you have unprotected sex, you have the power to choose what's right for you in that moment. If not getting pregnant is the goal, Plan B emergency contraception is a great backup plan because, listen, getting wild in the bedroom can be fun, but feeling out of control afterwards, not so fun. With Plan B, you can take control of your body and your future whenever you need a backup plan. It's important to remember to take Plan B as directed within 72 hours after unprotected sex, and keep in mind that the sooner you take it, the better it works. With Plan B, you've got this, and I've got you, Daddy Gang. With a special $10 coupon for your next Plan B, visit planbcoupon.com/daddy to get $10 off your next purchase. That's planbcoupon.com/daddy to get $10 off your next purchase. This episode is brought to you by Monday Hair Care. Daddy Gang, nobody likes Mondays. Am I right? We're all sobbing. We're all sobbing and we're barely getting out of bed on a Monday. But Monday Hair Care is here to flip the script with its award-winning formulas. No more bad hair days, Daddy Gang. Monday Hair Care is turning Mondays into a reason to celebrate good hair, which I love, thank God, with 7 new products like a leave-in conditioner, dry shampoo, a curl line, and body wash. And Daddy Gang, every single thing is under $10. Yes, and smell is to die for. Okay, I want my hair smelling like something that Matt wants to be engulfed in. I want him to come out to me and go, oh my God, you smell amazing. Oh my God, what is that in your hair? So Daddy Gang, reclaim the week with Monday at all leading retailers. Visit mondayhaircare.com to find a stockist near you.